Here is Willie Roberts.
Thanks for introducing me so I can introduce the show. I don't know. This is a weird episode because we've never done an episode without Wade.
That was weird.
And so I don't know what to do, but welcome to the show. We've got a couple special guests. Oh, well, let me introduce you first, Tim. Timothy Pizza, you've been on. This is your third appearance.
Yes, sir.
Go listen to his episodes. They were fun.
Oh, yeah, a great time.
We did
DMT.
We did DMT, and then we did a mental health episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get weird. It's good stuff. You know, and I do have to thank you because I got, like, every time I did an episode, I got, like, 10 to 15 followers.
Nice.
And
the people would tweet at me and be like, "Oh, Tim Pizza episode." Like, they love this stuff. So thank you to those like two dudes. You guys are great. I love you so much.
It's a way to assume that they're dudes.
Yeah.
And then we've got two more guests on today's show. Tim, I'll let you introduce.
We have Seth Goodtime.
I am indeed Seth Goodtime.
And Caitlin Renee.
That's me.
Oh. Howdy.
Howdy.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Should I explain?
Yeah, the reason why I had Tim introduce is because Tim's working on a project.
Yeah,
it's been a secret.
Yeah, it's been a secret for a while. It's called / Toggle Downfall. It's a documentary film about Seth Goodtime here. He was, before I met him, I guess last 4/20/2018, mm-hmm. Seth was walking down the street in Austin, Texas, in Southeast Austin,
mm-hmm.
11:45 in the morning. Some guy comes up to him from behind, stabs him 5 times, makes it to a gas station, gets into an ambulance, goes to the hospital, dies, comes back to life, and then he applies to write for my website. And then I noticed that he had written, like, probably 1,000 words on an iPhone. And I could tell it was an iPhone because I could see the auto corrections. I felt bad, so I sent him a computer. And then you and I, at that time, were trying to write, like, a 15-minute true crime fake doc.
Yeah.
About stealing a guy's boat. And we were...
And we were going to record via, basically, Skype.
Yeah.
Make a short from different cities.
Basically, it was just us, like, having ideas on the phone and then nothing ever happening. And then I was telling Willie about this, and Willie, I was going to... Because we were trying to do, like, a 15 minutes every, like, couple of months or something.
Yeah.
So I was trying to, like, put that on to Seth, and then I brought it up with Matt at Pitch, and Matt was like, dude, just make a documentary film. So... making a short documentary film, 16 minutes, and we're going to attempt to get it into South by Southwest.
Well, I guess we'll talk about time later, but 16 minutes?
Yeah, because I heard...
Yeah, very specific.
I heard it has to be under 20, because if you have a smoking 15 to 16 minute or 15 to 20 minutes...
Oh, it's easier to fit you in.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
if you have like an okay 30 to 40...
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going for a hot 15.
Word.
Yeah.
And what was it like, Tim, approaching you to do a documentary about you?
I was all for it. I was like, cool.
It was pretty natural, actually.
Yeah, I didn't have any reservations or anything. I was just like, let's do it. Yeah. Let's create some stuff and have fun.
Well, the first time we talked on the phone, I think we were both drunk. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning for you.
It was, the bar wasn't closed yet, so it definitely wasn't 2.
Right, yeah. But we talked on the phone for like an hour about nothing, and I was like, yeah, this guy will let me do a documentary about him.
Yeah. Well, we could do a quick wow scale, I guess. Do you know what your number was? You're like close to me, right?
Me and you were the same. Yeah.
Okay. The wow scale is where you
land. For Wade or Willie.
Based on your beliefs or your answer to these questions, whether you're closer to Wade or Willie on the scale, just so that... Mm-hmm. Listeners at home can categorize you.
Yeah, Willie's basically Scully, season 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
What?
I said Wade is basically Scully, season 1.
Willie. I'm like, no, not.
No. Yeah. Well, eventually she becomes a Willie. But not season 1.
And you can both answer. We'll scale you both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I love being judged.
me and Wade always argue about the last question.
First question is a 3-part question.
Oh, wow.
Do you believe in aliens? If you do, do you believe that they've been to Earth? And if so, do you believe that they've been here recently? Within the last 300 years, we'll say.
Do you want to go first?
Yes. Yes, I believe in aliens. Yes, I believe they've been to Earth. And yes, within the past 300 years.
Word.
I believe in aliens as well. I believe they've been here. And I actually am more on the time frame of they're probably here more in the past, got uninterested and left. And now we're cool. And they're like, we missed that boat.
Yeah. Drove by like a Star Trek episode where they had to get their attention with their warp speed.
Yeah.
But we didn't have nukes yet.
Yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you have ghost stories?
Yes.
Are you talking about like campfire boo stories or like experiences we've had?
Experiences you've had. Have you? Yeah.
I had a really good campfire story. No.
I'm about to be on a ghost story podcast soon with mine.
What?
Yeah. Is it your story?
Yeah.
Oh, can you give a quick version of it?
Yeah, me and my sister saw a ghost together, and the ghost, it was Christmas Eve, and the ghost was like calling for their sister, and we both saw like the shadow. Where were you at? We were in bed, and we always like sleep in the same bed on Christmas Eve. It's like a tradition.
Whose house was it?
It was our house growing up.
Oh, okay, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, we were like, I was like 12 probably, and like we kept hearing like throughout the year like somebody calling for their sister, and we call each other sister, sister, like that's how we call each other, and there would be times where we'd be like, why are you calling me? Like, and then the other one would be like, I'm not calling you. And that would happen like multiple times. And then on Christmas Eve, we were together finally. And we both heard the sister. And we like looked at each other. Oy. And then we looked at her door. And this like shadow of a girl like went across her door. And we both saw it. And then we both just like looked at each other. And we didn't say a word. We just like laid in bed like, holy shit. And we didn't even talk about it until like the next day. But we still talk about it to this day. Like, we're like, yeah, we definitely saw a ghost together at the same time.
I don't like that. How did you continue to live?
We didn't.
I mean, like, I
am a ghost now.
I couldn't live in a house.
Yeah. I think we were young enough that we were just like, cool.
Yeah. Did you have a ghost story?
Yeah, all of mine were in the same house. It was my friend's house, and she told me that a little girl would wake her up in the middle of the night, like shaking her. And I was just like, eh, whatever. And then I was in her kitchen, and then I just saw like a girl walk down the hallway. And I was like, oh, hey, is your sister here? She's like, no, she's in like in Oregon or somewhere that's not close at all. And she's like, oh, yeah, this little girl. And I was like, okay.
Oh, fuck.
And then because this was, I don't know, I was probably like 18 or so. We were like, well, if there is a ghost, let's do the whole Ouija board seance thing. Yeah. And we lit a bunch of candles. And then we held hands. And there was candles inside the circle of us holding hands. And then there was candles outside. And then as we did it, all of the candles went out outside the circle but stayed lit inside the circle.
I actually have a ghost story since the last time I was on.
Wait, time out. Okay, both of your stories gave me goosebumps. That's why I'm holding up my arm. I'm like, fuck you. That's what's weird to me is, did you guys believe in ghosts before your stories?
I was curious. I wasn't decided yet.
Yeah, I was so young that I don't think it hadn't really like occurred to me.
It's just weird to me to I love it when people have experiences that will forever change your belief. Because, mm-hmm. I've always wanted to believe in aliens.
Right.
Haven't really, I saw, like, one weird UFO, whatever. And then all of a sudden, one day, I saw a bunch. And I was like, oh, fuck. I called someone from across town, and they saw it. And, like, that was the day that flipped, and I noticed they changed the flight patterns of Burbank and LAX. So, like, it was on the radar. And, I don't know. It's just like when you have an experience that makes you believe, it's like it lets you, when people tell you a story, go, oh, maybe, instead of like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
What's your ghost story?
So when I was moving in with Audrey and I was kind of in my old apartment, I knew that a guy had died in there before I moved in. I guess he was like an older, like kind of overweight guy, and he just like kind of suffocated in his sleep.
Oh, wow.
And I always got his mail, and that always kind of creeped me out. I was too weirded out to throw it out, so I kept it in like a box, you know, like in the pantry. And I was like, I'll sort this out, you know, at some point. And then there was all these handwritten letters from, you know, female handwriting, and they looked personal. And when I was moving out, I was like, I got to take this shit to the post office. And it was like somebody's handwriting all this stuff. And like the address was from my hometown in Danville, where I grew up.
What state is that?
It's just California, the Bay Area.
Okay, I've never heard of Danville.
Yeah, it's like 20 miles from Oakland.
Was it started by a guy named Dan?
Probably. Yeah, I bet so. Yeah.
I hate the old names of cities.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like Danville. Then there's Steveville, which is the next town over.
Oh my gosh.
That was his brother. The mail was becoming like a focus. Like when I'd be in the house and I'd be looking, you know, at stuff I need to like take care of, I would always like notice these certain envelopes. So I was like, fuck it, this dude's dead. So I opened his letters, like the handwritten ones that look like from the lady. And they're these really sad letters from this lady. Like, hey man, like we're friends. Why won't you return my calls? Like, she doesn't know he's dead.
Oh, no.
So I come home one day and the mail's sorted. Like, junk mail in one pile, bills in one pile, and all the letters from her.
And you don't have a roommate.
No, I live by myself. So I'm like, okay, maybe I did that. I get drunk at night. Yeah. So maybe I did that. You know, like, okay, like I wasn't fully a believer yet. And then I remember I was watching Futurama. I put it on pause, got up to go to the bathroom, sat down in the bathroom. I heard Futurama start playing again on the TV. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. Maybe like the dog sat on the remote. And then I looked over to the left into the like the shower area. And then I looked over to the right. And all of a sudden, two of the pictures from the hallway were at my feet right next to each other. And they weren't there before.
What were the pictures of?
They were both. One was a framed Valentine's Day card that Audrey made me. And the other one was just like a duck painting that my friend found at a thrift shop. No, a giraffe. Like, and there was no way it could have fallen off the wall and made it like 7 feet down the hall.
Were they framed?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. And then like I went to the store, like they had this store called Ancient Ways in Berkeley. And I was like talking to the guy at the store, and he was like, yeah, you can get the, you know, you can get Palo Santo, you can get sage, and you can get crystals and do a thing.
Did you write the lady?
I'll get to that. So I bought like the sage and the crystals to like get the ghost out of there, but like it was fucking rolling, you know. I was reading his mail, like I wasn't afraid of him. I was just like, whatever. I don't think it was like I'm trying to freak you out.
Yeah,
I think it was like I need you to take care of my mail. So when I moved out, like I sat down at the table, you know, and I put the crystals in the sage and the Palo Santo on the table, and I was like, right, dude, I'm moving out. And I was like, don't make me use this shit. And I was like, I'll figure out your mail. And I sat there and I read the letters, and then I went to the post office, and I like talked to the people at the post office. I was like, would it be weird if I wrote something? I was like, I haven't opened any of the mail, but I was lying. And I was like, so I wrote this letter to this lady saying like, you know, I could tell by your handwriting that these letters were a personal nature. I didn't read your letters that you wrote to him, you know, but I just wanted to let you know that I made up a more dignified death for him. I said that he got pneumonia. And then I wrote her like this nice letter, and she wrote me this letter that made me cry. That was like, I'm so glad there's good people left in the world, because we've been wondering for like a year what happened to this guy.
Man.
Yeah. So I wonder if he likes the new person that moved in there. But I don't know. It's like ghosts are such a weird thing because it's like,
well, it's just so depressing though. Your ghost story makes me feel so depressed about ghosts now. I'm like, fuck, man. He was watching you live and noticing that these letters, he couldn't respond.
Well, I think he fucking loved me because all I did was watch TV. And I think that's all he did, too.
But I wonder about that, too. It's like, I don't know. Ghosts are a weird thing to me because I'm like, does something bad need to happen to you for you to be a ghost where you don't cross over?
Yeah, is you crossing have over
only
sort of...
like a religious thing? Meaning like, you know, your belief in like a heaven of some sort or like moving on? I'm like, what? Because like, why not binge watch the rest of the human race?
Right.
It would be a really good show. Like, some parts aren't as good, but you know.
I'm like, because like, my personal belief is that when you die, you might figure everything out. You can see everything. You know everything. You get can. Oh.
Or we can fish
your thing. Oh yeah, go ahead. We're doing some weird thing. My belief is that when you die, you possibly might. There's a chance that you could become this energy that is connected to everything, and you know everything. And I don't know, that's just kind of weird and hopeful that like you'll have answers to questions. But it's like if you do become that energy, like why would you stick around as a ghost? And a fear that I've always had is that like, well, maybe you're a ghost because you don't know what you really are, and you're locked into being human so much so that you can't accept that it's like you don't believe it, so you can't be whatever we are.
It
when
always
you die.
Seems like ghosts have less answers than more answers. like they don't even know
this. What do you see? Get out of my room.
Yeah, exactly.
You mean like when a dog doesn't know he's a dog?
Yeah.
He just thinks he's like one of the dudes.
Oh, he thinks he's people.
Yeah. Fighting the mirror. That's always.
Yeah.
What about Bigfoot? You believe in Bigfoot?
Yeah. I love Bigfoot.
Good man.
I've never met the guy, but.
I never really thought enough about Bigfoot to have an opinion on it.
And that's
it.
All the Bigfoots, you know, Yeti and, and whatever they're all called.
I have it on good authority. He prefers Sasquatch.
I know. Like, you don't call me medium head.
I think I believe more in mysterious ocean creatures than mysterious land creatures.
I saw a Bigfoot riding a chupacabra. Yeah.
But that's another story. Yeah. What about superstitions? You guys have superstitions?
It's hard for me to draw the line between superstition and OCD. I'm like the not fun type of OCD where like some people are OCD. They're like, I'm so OCD and their house is just clean. I'm the kind of OCD where it's like, if I don't touch the light switch four times, then my cousin will die. So I don't know, like, how much is superstition and how much is just my OCD.
I can't entertain any thoughts that are, like, balanced in reality, or I can spiral out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any superstitions that I can think of.
What about your little breakfast duo?
Breakfast duo?
Yeah. Do they harbor any superstitions with
pancake.
You?
Pancake and French toast?
Or are they just chill buddies?
They're my...
He's constantly worried about them. He'll wake up in the middle of the night and be like, where's Pancake? Is he okay?
They're my support animals.
Yes, yeah. Emotional support.
For the listeners at home, or driving, or pumping iron, if you're pumping iron, let me know.
How do you pump iron dwell?
One and two and three and jump and
like when I'm like running, I like to listen to music otherwise I think too much about everyone else working out.
Do you ever like trick your phone and playing iTunes and a podcast at the same time so you can listen to both?
No, that's cool. That's awesome.
It's like you have to do a weird glitch thing. Like it was easier with the older phones, but now it's like tricky. But yeah, I've figured it out.
Because you're so smart.
Yeah.
I had a friend in high school that was OCD and he never revealed it to me. And I didn't know what OCD was either, mm-hmm. but he was really bad where like, and I guess I just fucked up his OCD all the time. Mm. Like he needed even numbers. He turned the volume up.
Yeah.
If I turn it up one, he'd hit it again to make it two. And I'm like, well, okay, let's go up another one.
Yeah,
he'd go up another one. He'd always take two bites of my sandwich if he wanted a bite or two Tic Tacs or whatever. And I was like, I was just like, this guy's fucking selfish, man. Just take one. Like, what's the big deal?
You asshole.
And he'd like take his shoelaces to the right. And I'd like, what are you doing?
Yeah. For me, it's fours. Like every alarm I set to wake up has to be on a four. Like, so if I need to wake up at 7 a.m., I have to set it for 6:54 a.m. And it's the same with, like, if I'm, like, microwaving something. It's like, oh, can you microwave that for a minute? I'm like, no, I can do it for 54 seconds.
Yeah. I used to be like that with, like, 34s. I used to think of any way to, like, make a 34 in secret. Like, I had, like, a Wi-Fi router named 14 threes because that adds up to 34. Nice. And, like, just, like, it was a weird... I wouldn't call it a lucky number. It was just something. I looked it up. It's called arithmomania. Huh. It's like an obsession with numbers. Like, I used to, like, back when I was medicated or incorrectly medicated, I went into Mars for a while. But I used to, like, I could look at, like, a serial number on a UPS van and it could tell me about the rest of my day.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah. So I don't entertain, after 2.5 years of cognitive behavioral therapy, I have a strict list of what I can and can't think about. I would love to entertain some superstitions, but that will turn me into weird Timmy.
Yeah. That's funny. Like I'm very aware of the things that I shouldn't mess with.
Yeah. Like I shouldn't be thinking about this.
Even stupid things like World of Warcraft. Like I've never played it cause I'm like, oh, I could get lost in it forever in that. Sure. I could play a game that. You build up a character
this is my life now.
Yeah. I started smoking when I quit playing World of Warcraft. That's how much it
is. Yeah. What about time travel? Do you guys believe in? And hold on. We have always fucked up our wild scale because we'd always forget things and stuff. But Mr. Alan Garner, thank you for sending us in. Or Bob Garner, thank you for adjusting our wild scale, and we'll apply it to every show now because it's great. What about time travel? You believe it's possible? You think that? Because here's the thing: if you believe it's possible, then there has to be time travelers around now, is weird. Because even if it gets invented later,
then they're doing it.
You think that things are being adjusted now? And I'm not talking.
I have a weird theory about this.
Hmm.
I don't think it's time travel. I think it's interdimensional travel. Because, like, if you...
That's not too weird. I mean, what was the show with...
Sliders?
Sliders, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That show was so weird. I love
Sliders.
Yeah. They always just wound up in, like, some weird Soviet thing.
Oh, so the red lights are green.
And there was that... yeah, there was that
I was weird... also mad at the show. I love this. Yeah. I hate the things I love.
So, if, like... Okay, so... The multiverse thing, like, if every possibility happens, like, you know, say there's a version of us right now where this doesn't happen and you're playing with Moose and I'm
drinking
somewhere else and or
eye open, whatever.
Yeah. So every one of those things is happening in some other multiverse. I don't see any point to that. I see all that data being taken and stored like elsewhere.
But when you say that information to me, then like existence is a simulation,
right?
And all the possibilities are happening in this whatever natural computer that's happening. And so I only buy into it with that in mind, that like, well, if there was, like, an intelligent enough rate, that's what we do. We run simulations on possibilities.
I bet
of everything.
You life has latency correction. Like, so check this out. When I got this hearing aid, it's like there's a titanium rod that goes into my skull, and then it sends a sound that vibrates around in my head. So with one ear, I can hear for two ears now because it's sound vibration. The first day that I got it, there was a weird latency. Like, you would say something, you'd say, like, hey, Tim, and then I'd hear, like, hey, Tim, right after. Like, it was a weird delay, but my brain fixed it after, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I bet that like there's some crazy universe one where like something happens with not necessarily time travel, but dimension travel. And like you go in and you make a change and then some weird machine or being decides which outcome out of all the outcomes they're going to go with. And they put that back into your life and then it corrects the latency. So I don't, it's not necessarily time travel. I think it's interdimensional chance travel. And then our life is the one that destiny is putting in front of us. But all the other ones are stored somewhere else.
You believe in
destiny? Not in like Hollywood destiny. Like, I'm going to find the one I love. But I think with like...
yeah. I think that's a slippery slope. And I'll tell you, I think that if you believe in destiny, it makes you not act as much because you're waiting for things that you deserve.
Oh, I don't believe in like the Disney destiny.
Well, I've been such a nice person.
Yeah. Destiny is the wrong word.
Fuck.
But
you ain't going to get shit.
Yeah.
No.
Do you guys believe in time travel?
Oh.
I'm more on kind of Tim's page, like kind of like the movie Interstellar.
Yeah.
Like possibly at the end of a black hole is some weird kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also, the thing about that movie that like messes with my brain is like when he goes on the planet for 5 minutes and he came back and that other dude aged like 40 years.
Yeah.
That blows my mind. And I think that kind of stuff makes time travel seem possible. Because what was 5 minutes for one person was 40 years for another person.
Yeah.
Well, like, you can do, like, minuscule time travel. Like, I hear, like, you stand at the base of a pyramid, like, you can actually see things moving and fast forward around you because the gravity makes time move slower or faster. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that definitely aging is relative to your existence, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You know, when you get close to these big gravity... Yeah, it's all gravity. I mean, yeah. I don't really believe in our definition of gravity, but if you look at, like, our closest neighbor is Sirius, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Sirius A and Sirius B is a binary star system, and they... I don't know who they are. I read that when they lined up with each other, it affected our time. It, like, we lost a few seconds or something weird. We're like, these two giant stars that are next to us, they lined up and it messed with our time. And I'm like, oh, well. And there's whole, you know, cycles of time that are based on their cycle. Have you heard of the Kal-Yuga cycle? Anyways, yes. I don't need to go off into everything.
We live in a slow motion explosion.
But, yeah, I mean, like, we definitely are affected by all of the gravity within our solar system, let's say. And so, like, when it comes to, like, horoscopes, like, oh, you might not get the toast tomorrow that it said that you're going to get, but, like, I believe that when you were born, whenever the way everything's lined up does affect your brain.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you believe in time travel? You didn't.
I believe that we have the capacity to figure it out. I just have never thought about whether or not I think that anyone in the past mastered it. But like you said, like if you believe in it at all, like if you believe that we can figure it out 1,000 years from now, then if they figured it out, they figured it out. So they're probably here now. So I haven't really thought about that.
Yeah, I know. And it's weird because it's like, oh, well, they haven't figured out time travel because Hitler still existed. But it's like, well, that's such a huge event that like...
Why does it always go to Hitler?
You're going to affect... Well, he's like the... I know. It's like now we should be, you know...
But I mean, it was such a major impact. Like, it's like it almost like... I think I'd hate to say it, but I think we might need Hitler.
That's what I'm saying too. Is it like that's such a big part of time that if you change that, it's just too much.
Yeah. Right.
Especially if it is 1,000 years from now, they figure it out. Are they really like what happened 1,000 years ago? Like from now, like are we gonna go back and be like, well, we're gonna go get those?
And it's weird too because have there been bigger genocides? I think so.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They're just way worse.
Because there's
a bunch going on right now that are like just not really talked about.
Yeah, they're just not on the radar.
The last time I watched the news, I watch John Oliver now and I like read stuff, but like when I used to watch like the news, like Fox, like it was Kosovo And I couldn't handle that. That fucked me up too much. Like, I didn't even really understand what was happening. I just knew all these fucking...
I can't believe how many humans are constantly dying, mostly because of other humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It bothers the fuck out of me. This is why I think that... Because everyone's always like, oh, I don't believe in aliens because how come they're not here? And I'm like, well, if I watched a bunch of monkeys killing each other, I'm not going to go say hi to them.
Yeah.
Dude, Ted Danson is like fucking straight up lizard man. Yeah. He's like mixing you a drink, like blinking sideways, like, ooh, hey, yep. Zip, zap, zip.
It's like, have you ever seen 11-22-63?
Yeah.
With James Franco?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're great.
I like that idea of time travel.
Yeah, actually, when you brought it up, that was the first thing I thought of.
There's like,
I mean, that's JFK, right?
Yeah. But there's there's a little portal that takes you to a specific time.
Wait, JFK, James Franco, what?
Like, it's a show. James Franco King.
Yeah.
James Franco King. As a TV show?
Yeah. Yeah, it was on Hulu. It was eight episodes.
Oh, you mean John F. Nohedity?
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's like a portal. And it takes you to a specific time and place, and then you can live in that place, and then you come back, and it only takes like a minute off the clock or something.
Yeah.
But you can stay in that era for as long as you want.
Oh yeah, then you get like 50s pie.
Yeah.
But what if do you age? He definitely age in that time, right?
No, like, but if you die in that time, you die on this side.
Okay. Yeah, but when he comes back, it's only been like a minute of his life, so it's not like it doesn't have like a huge impact on.
But to your point about like why always Hitler or like maybe just leave the event alone, in the show they stop JFK from being assassinated and it makes the United States go to shit. Like,
yeah, sometimes like, bad things have to happen.
Yeah, it's like I think there was like nuclear fallout and all that kind of stuff. And so sometimes you just gotta let the bad stuff happen.
That's it. That's interesting because that probably is the truth.
That's kind of how we won World War II.
Oh, wait, who died first, RFK or JFK? RFK.
JFK.
Yeah.
RFK died first, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was 5 years before.
Nuh-uh.
No?
What?
Robert Kennedy?
No way.
Did he?
I'm pretty sure JFK was
first. Dude, Sirhan is the funniest motherfucker in the world.
Because RFK was running, he was running for president.
Yeah, against Lyndon Johnson?
Yeah, and Lyndon Johnson was JFK's vice president.
So I think he was killed before JFK.
No. He was attorney general from 61 to 64. So there you go. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
68. He was assassinated. Yeah. Right. I'm like, dude. No.
What I get for thinking I know stuff.
Sorry. We'll try to bust. What about mind control? Do you think it's possible for someone to control someone else's mind, in whichever way, whether it be?
Oh fuck yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible organically.
I
think it's possible like chemically.
Well, the hypnotism is a form of mind control, right?
Yeah.
I have to say, yeah.
Because I did one of those hypnotist things, like a carnival or a fair or whatever. And I remember everything. I didn't, like, fall asleep. But it was... I've never had Tourette's, but how people told me Tourette's was described. When he said the word that was supposed to make me do the thing, if I didn't do it, I felt like I was going to die.
Wow.
Weird.
So, and my thing was I just had to love my neighbor, so I just had to, like, be super petty and, like, super just, like, rub up on them. But even though it was, like, a person, a stranger, and I didn't want to do it...
Consent is a thing.
Wow.
You consent when you go on stage.
That's interesting, because my personal take on that has always been, oh, you just don't want the attention of not doing it.
Mm.
You know? Because I haven't experienced that.
Yeah, that's really cool. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you put enough time into the right person, you could, when you were manipulative enough and they were insecure enough, you could get them to do fucking anything you wanted.
Yeah, this is what a cult is, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, the weird thing about the cult is that it generally, when you join, it's because of something that you believe in, you know? And then you slowly are like, oh, fuck, you know, this guy's like screwing. Literally having sex with my whole family, but I'm like, I really want to be here, you know. Whatever. Yeah. It's like the problems come later, but you start out believing in
He's
something
got
good.
All the answers.
Yeah,
I just listened to a My Favorite Murder about some cult called like Synanon or something, or I can't remember the name of it, but I think they were in my neighborhood when I was a kid. Like, it sounds familiar.
Has it been another 20 minutes?
I'm just gonna say what's going on for the show because otherwise it's weird.
Oh, right.
Just recording a camera, and every 20 minutes we got to reset it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't really, I'm not really good at scaling you between Wade and myself because...
Do you need him here for it?
Yeah, I'm like, because I don't do it, he does it.
Yeah.
You want me
so
to
I'm
do
like,
it?
So I'm like, I would say, yeah, well, you come up with one too, and we'll see if, we'll see if they're the same. No. You give them a wow scale, and I'll give them a wow scale too. Think about it for a second. I mean, I would say you got an answer for both of them.
Yeah,
I would say you do. I mean, you do have a couple things that you don't believe the same on, but
mm-hmm.
I'd say that you're both like 5-6s.
Yeah,
out of
I would say
0 to 10.
Oh, okay. Caitlin's one number higher than Seth.
Yeah.
I win.
Well, yeah. Anybody who's a Wade disagrees with you. Yeah. So, do you guys want to take a quick break, or do we need to take a break?
I'm good.
Does he use a bathroom or anything?
I mean, I might want to reposition, but.
Word. Well, let's jump into your story. Like, what? Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Well, I was born in Germany.
Were you?
Yeah.
What part?
I was born in Landstuhl.
I don't know anything. My family is Prussian, so we're from German-owned Russia.
I grew up in Rammstein, like the hardcore band.
Du hast.
Yes. That was where I grew up.
Du hast.
You know, I was very entertained when that song came out.
It's still a good song.
I had a breakup right when that song came up, and I remember like I was at the warehouse, and the kid that worked there was like, "Dude, you like metal?" And I was like, "No." And he was like, "Take one of these VHS tapes." He was like, "Even if you don't like metal, you'll like it." I brought it home, and it was a VHS tape of the Rammstein video, and I just watched it like 3,000 times. Like I was like, "This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen." And then me and my girlfriend broke up, and we were living together. It was a bad breakup too. And then I saw her like 2 years later, and she's like, "And fuck you for the Rammstein thing." I kept hearing that song, and it would make me sad every time I think about you. That was the weirdest thing ever, to get sad to that song. Yeah, that was funny. I don't even remember what that means.
Du hast nicht?
Du hast mich?
You hate me.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
That's all
something about time traveling to kill Hitler.
Yeah.
That's all the lyrics are. We've come full circle. Oh, so my story?
I guess.
See, it's the story of a girl.
420. What were you planning on doing that day?
Not smoking.
It was a Friday. He was supposed to come to my... We had like a... after work happy hour, and it was the first time he was supposed to meet my work friends,
which is why I got stabbed.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw him in the hospital.
It's destiny.
The first thing I said was, if you didn't want to meet my work friends, you could have just told me.
That's my Sunday. I always have Thursday Fridays off, so I woke up watching Scrubs like all morning, and then I needed some coffee.
What season?
I don't know what season.
Whatever's on.
It's yeah. I literally haven't watched it since that happened.
Because he kind of blames Scrubs.
Well, because I was watching it. I've already seen them all, but I watched one episode and I was like, I want coffee now, but I'll watch one more episode. So maybe that one more episode.
What could fuck with me mentally. It was like when something happens, you can blame it on anything you want, and that can give you a mental problem.
Yeah.
It's definitely one thing that he's like blamed it on, because he was at my house and people have been like, oh, do you blame Caitlin because you were at her house? And like, I also had a roommate, and my roommate was like, you know, I thought about driving him to the gas station and I didn't, and I regret like not saying that, and so it's like, do you blame Caitlin for living there? Do you blame the roommate for not driving you? And he's like, no, I blame Scrubs for making me watch one more episode.
You hear that, Zach Braff? Yeah.
You did this.
That, so that's why you're in town.
Yes.
You're tracking him.
Yeah, I didn't really have any plans, though.
What part of town was this?
This was in the southwest part of Boston.
Yeah. Burleson and Ben White or something?
Yeah, Burleson and Ben White. And yeah. Ben White's basically a freeway.
It's like two exits south of downtown Austin.
And I've done the same walk before, so I was just walking, and then I saw someone like 500 yards behind me that was also walking. Didn't think anything of it. It was 11:45 in the morning on 420. And then that person got closer, and I just thought they were speed walking. And then when they were right behind me, I stepped out of the way because I thought he was going to pass me. And then he ended up, what I thought was a punch in the back because I thought I was going to get jumped. It ended up being a small blade of some sort. And then I turned around, and then I don't really remember his hand motions, but I remember him having something in his hand. I was like, oh, that's not a fist. And then I actually heard my hoodie rip on one of them. So like I was like, fists don't tear clothing. And to get away, I ran into traffic, like just bolted into the street where cars were so people would see what's happening. And then also, if he doesn't want to get hurt, he's probably not going to try and run in traffic. So that ended up working. And then I was pretty close to my destination of the gas station.
And so wait, at this moment, did you knew you were stabbed, right?
I wasn't. I knew when my hoodie ripped. That
and then it got wet.
Danger.
Well, yeah, I knew when my hoodie ripped that it wasn't fists. I didn't know the two biggest ones, which I can show you the scars. I know listeners can't see it, but those two biggest ones, I'm not sure like how they happened, but I didn't know I was bleeding until like 2-3 minutes after it happened, until I just got like really wet.
And so you don't know that you're stabbed yet, but you know danger is happening. Did time slow down for you mentally, even though you didn't know exactly what happened?
I want to say it's slowed down, but I think I was probably the clearest at decision making I've ever been in my life. Like the only like thing that I kind of hesitated on was because I'm not the wealthiest person. Mm-hmm. So I was like, if I call 911, that's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Sucks. I had like a small debate. I was like, should I just call my friend and have him give me a ride somewhere, or call 911? And then I realized that like, that guy probably shouldn't be on the street. So if I call 911, police will get involved too, not just medical. And it was a good thing that I did call 911 because it was a lot more serious than I thought it was. But called them, gave them my exact location, told them the exact location of where I stabbed. I wrapped my own wound, held it. Like I just did everything super quick.
I thought you got a cup of coffee and it was just like leaking out of your back when you took sips.
Yeah. I wish. Just drinking.
There's not right.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a Simpsons or episode like that where
probably
like, where Family Guy where like he gets like I don't want to say stabbed, but like acupuncture and he drinks and just water comes out or something.
Yeah, probably.
It sounds like a Family Guy kind of way.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was a bunch of bystanders, I guess, and they were literally bystanders. They didn't do anything.
Nobody helped at all.
Fucking weird.
Yeah, no one did anything. And then the ambulance showed up
first. At least cameras didn't come out, right?
No. fire department showed up first, then the ambulance, and then the police showed up last. And then I went
by
to the hospital.
By far.
Did any lawyers ever contact you and be like...
Yeah.
No.
Huh. Surprised.
No law.
I guess there's nobody to sue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sue the sidewalk.
Right. I sue coffee.
Yeah, I mean, we went back to the crime scene, like...
Just King Coffee, I love.
That place is creepy as fuck. It's not a shitty neighborhood. Like, it does not look like a shitty place. It's clean. It's gorgeous. It looks like a happy place. And then there's a gas station that looks like a normal gas station. And then there is, like, a side area with, like, a weird pump-looking thing. Like, probably where you pump your tires up, and then like 10 feet back behind that there's like a 20 foot space where probably like a semi truck could pull in, and then there's a fence with a weird bush, and then there's all these people coming in and out of the bush and going through a
like
hole in the fence
back there that...
yeah,
shortcut.
And it's like, yeah.
And I didn't know. I lived there for like 8 years.
But
I lived in that house.
People coming
no
out of there didn't fucking look homeless at
no.
all.
They
looked like
clearly something weird.
Yeah, there's like a weird, maybe like they're selling drugs out of there, and that's where they keep it. Like, it reminded me of like those scenes in The Wire, like when they were like, you know, drop drugs off the building top, and you know, like, you know, like they would leave the drugs in weird spots and nobody actually touched them.
Right.
You know, like it seemed like there was like some weird thing going on there. And that made it so much creepier because it wasn't a bad neighborhood.
Right.
It was just like, these people don't belong here.
You
like,
have this like false sense of safety, yeah, which he did. He was just like, la, 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 gas station.
I mean, the guy that I saw come out of the bush looked like he'd probably killed people before.
Yeah.
So they kept you on the phone the whole time, right? That's what they do.
Yeah.
And so how did you first hear?
I was at work, and he called me, and I found out later that he was in the hospital, and the nurse was like, you should call your girlfriend, and he was like, will you call? And he was like, when we call, it tends to go badly, and people think that it's worse than it is, so you should probably call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I wanted them to call.
But
no vitals were hit?
No, I did. We'll get to this part of the story, yeah, too, yeah. But I did end up losing a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, a spoiler. I did die.
Yeah. Well, he said that.
Yeah, Tim said.
But he said Tim's, it in jest.
Yeah.
But it was true. It was just, they didn't even hit an artery. It was just, what happened is,
it was blood loss.
Well, yeah, it was blood loss. But the one in the front right arm, bled a lot, like you would picture bleeding, like just everywhere. The one in the back, all the blood went inward, so they didn't know that I was bleeding. It's not internal bleeding, it's just the flow of blood was going back into my body, and that one was actually bleeding more, but it didn't look like it. So that's where I lost all my, I gave it back, but you know, it's not like in the my recycling port didn't work or whatever.
Wow. it's like changing your brake fluid.
Yeah. But yeah, so...
That's scary.
I normally, at this point, it was routine for him to walk to the gas station, and it was also routine for me to call him on my lunch break. And we always talk on my lunch break, and I called him, and he didn't pick up. And he never, like, doesn't pick up. He also, he's not the kind of person, he always has his phone with him 100% of the time. And he never, like, once he's awake for the day, he never naps. So it's not like, oh, Seth didn't pick up. I'm sure he's, like, left his phone in the other room, or maybe he took a nap. Like, it's just not normal for him.
He even will text me back when he's sleeping and be like, I'm sleeping.
He always has his phone. So I called him twice on my lunch break, and he didn't answer. And I was like, this is weird. Like, he hasn't said anything. This is really weird, because I knew he was awake. And then I texted him, and I was like, hey, just so you know, I called you twice, just in case, like, he would see my text instead of my missed calls. I don't know. And so he calls me, like, an hour or two later, and I was expecting a Seth joke about why he missed my calls, because he's just never serious ever. So I fully expected him to be like, I didn't get your call because the Pope was here, and or just something. And so I pick up, and he's like, hey. And I'm like, hey, you missed my calls. And he's like, yes, I did, because I got stabbed, and I'm in the hospital. And I was like, ha ha, very funny. Anyway, and then after that, it kind of became clear that he was, like, loopy on, like, drugs.
Ketamine.
Yeah, he was on ketamine, and he was like, no, really. Oh,
that's so weird.
You should talk to, if you don't believe me, talk to the nurse. What was the nurse's name?
Josh.
He was like, come here, Josh, talk here. No, you talk to Josh, and he'll tell you. And that's when I was like, what? Like, that's when I was like, oh, my God, this is real. And I just, like, I was at work, so I just jumped up and just, like, ran out. But I was like, very funny, elaborate story as to why you didn't answer my call.
And was this, when you were talking to her, was this before or after you died?
After. But I
didn't know.
Yeah, they didn't tell me until 2 weeks later when I got my stitches out.
Like, I got to the hospital that night, and he was like, I was so proud. Like, I just, in my head, I kept saying, like, if you close your eyes, you're dead. If you close your eyes, you're dead. And I held my eyes open the whole time, and I was present the whole time, and I knew everything that was happening, and I never closed my eyes. And then later, they were like, buddy, you died. Like, and he was like, what?
How long were you, am I jumping? How long were you dead for?
They said about 30 seconds. That's not...
That's so
I
crazy.
Mean, people like drown for like 3 minutes, so there's people that have been
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But I don't remember like anything. I just thought I was awake. It was good.
Yeah, he was like,
the only way that I would associate it, I guess.
Latency correction?
Yeah.
Nice. Is like when you are like sitting up and you're tired and like you fall asleep for a second and your head wakes you up.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of it like being like that. But I have. Like, it's a no memory. I didn't see a white light. No one came and talked to me.
It's so relieving. I don't want to deal with that shit right after I die. That's going to be stressful
like,
enough.
Give me a minute. What?
Yeah. What happened?
Now I got to deal with my grandma? Like,
hold on. I've got all this mail to get through.
Yeah. Gonna have to find someone to forward that later.
Yeah. No, there's just like some angry old guy. He's like, "You sent the letter to the wrong lady."
That's what's weird is that's what's the depressing part about the ghost. Obviously, is that like,
yeah.
I can't touch my mail. What's this letter?
Yeah.
So what? They never found the guy.
No.
No.
So you know nothing as to why or what it could possibly happen, misidentification, gang initiation.
Those, I mean, those are the things that have gone through our brains
like,
a lot.
Yeah,
I just think like methed out to the max.
Yeah. Well, the I mean, I don't know too many people that do meth or any people that I know of. But like when they said what kind of clothes was he wearing or whatever, he looked.
He was just wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah, jeans and a t-shirt, and then they weren't dirty. And like he only said one thing to me, and it was said perfectly clear. And what he said was
a racial slur.
He said "f u n word." That's what he said to me, and it was perfect. Like there was no like accent, no anything. It was just fine. So while I do think that there could have been. Like drugs or something. It's just the way.
It was before noon.
Yeah.
It's weird because, I mean, I know that you got away, you stepped away, but I'm like, I just feel like if it was a random thing, it would have at least tried for your wallet or something.
Right.
Yeah, there wasn't anything. Well, I have a small theory that is also a way of me bragging that he was going to try and steal something from me if I fell down, which I never did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But no idea.
And how often did you make that walk?
So there's two gas stations next to her house, and
they're equal distance from my house. Like, one is to the right, and one is to the left.
Yeah, one's like
equal distance.
One's like 0.6 miles, one's like 0.5. And I wanted to do the 0.5 one, because it's just a little quicker.
And I always say, the other one's nicer. Why don't you go to the other one? And he's like, it's like a tiny bit closer. I'm like, no, that one's nicer.
So I probably got into that gas station just walking because I didn't own anything as far as transportation. I walked everywhere. I would say at least a dozen times. And then the other gas station, probably way more than that, like 25 times. So just walking in that neighborhood in general.
It was normal was a routine lot, yeah. for him.
And I always did it in like daytime hours. I never went out at night or anything.
Yeah. And never consistent enough to where it's like, 11 o'clock?
Not at all.
And I've spent enough time with him to know that, like, he's not giving us a line of shit and about, like, sneaking off to get back. Like, that's something I would have been doing. But he wasn't trying to get drugs. Like, he drinks beers, but I can't even get this guy to hit my vape. Like, he's a straight arrow.
That's what I, when, like, the cop was, like, super hardcore interrogating me, I was just like, the cop was like, why did this happen? He just didn't believe us. And I was just like, he doesn't even smoke weed.
Yeah, he pinned Kaylin down in a room, sat her down in a room, sat between her and the door, Like, closed the door, like, accused her of all this shit, wouldn't let her see Seth.
That's so annoying to me, too. It's so cliche. It makes me feel like, yeah, he's watched too many movies and, like,
yeah.
Trying to be the hard, bad cop.
Why did this happen? Why did this happen?
Isn't that great at it?
Yeah.
It's like the annoying kid that grew up.
I don't know if, Tim, you got this out of Jordan when you talked to him, Bonky.
Oh, yeah, Bonky.
But he was telling me that it was, like, only the third time in Austin's history where there was a completely random, no-motive stabbing. So that's, like, one of the reasons they covered it. But I don't know if he talked to you about that at all.
I don't know. I talked to that guy the other day, actually. He's fucking cool. I like Bonky.
What did he say how to pronounce it? You said it's like donkey with a B?
Yeah, he said, like, yeah, he's like, it's like donkey. He didn't even say it. He's just like, it's like donkey. that guy, he's got the crazy eyes, but in a good way. I love Bonky. And I love his piece of shit truck, too. It's fucking cool looking. He's got a weird, like, it's like a car that shouldn't have a truck. It's like, I can't think of the brand.
It's like a Volkswagen Rabin. It'd be like if, with like a truck bed.
It'd be like if there was a random be like if there was like a Porsche pickup truck that came out in the 70s or something. Like, it's like some weird thing that doesn't look like it. I can't remember.
And it's like, well, why do you have this? You can't. There's not enough power to carry anything.
Right.
Yeah. But he stole my cold brew coffee. Jordan Bonky was a CBS anchor that covered the news story
of what happened to
Seth. And then I decided to interview that guy for the documentary. So he got back to me within 30 seconds and was like, yes, I will do it. I remember that. And that made me want to do the documentary even more, because that guy must see so many news headlines every day. And the fact that I remembered this made me think, like, oh, this kind of stuck out in Austin a little bit. So cool guy. Journalists are crazy people. He had 3 cell phones.
Oh my gosh.
Has anything changed for you mentally before versus after? I mean, obviously before and after, but like.
Oh yeah, that's how we talk about life, is before you got stabbed and after.
Yeah, like, you know, like Jesus, BC and AD, we have BS and AS. Yeah. So before stabbing,
that's how we define everything.
The biggest thing was just like PTSD. So I walked everywhere. I probably have walked, I don't know, 4 miles since then total.
Yeah, he walked everywhere.
I was like at 10 miles a day.
Yeah.
So I didn't like anyone behind me, which actually is a lot better now. But Tim calls it superpowers. I'm still really hyper aware of situations. Like when he was talking about when we went to the gas station, you saw people coming out of the bushes. He's like, I kind of want to go in there. He's like, but I'm scared. I was like, oh, you have like 2 witnesses. And he's like, where did you see those people? It's like, I already scanned the whole environment as soon as, and he didn't even see them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That kind of stuff is, I think it's kind of cool. Caitlin jokes.
The head.
Yeah, Caitlin jokes. He's like, she's always says like, well, now you're just a woman. So
yeah,
because they're always
scanning and like looking for situations all the time.
Well, I relate to that from having anxiety.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah.
It's like, I'm not trying to be a spy. I just hate dying.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm ever merging... This happened the other day. Like, I was merging lanes, and Shauna was with me. She's like, there's somebody there, and they were there the whole time. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I know. But, like, I know...
Were they a blind spot?
I was getting around a semi, and then they just snuck in right then. But, like, I know what cars are behind me at all times so that I can... In an emergency, I can... change lanes without looking.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm just always scanning, and you know, if I go into a building, I look for exits and
right.
blah, blah, blah. Anxiety.
I got that after a couple of my friends died in that ghost ship fire. Remember, did you hear about that? The rave? Like every time I go into like a semi shady warehouse just building, I'm like, how the fuck can I get out of here? Like,
I don't think I've ever been in a warehouse building. How many warehouse buildings are you going into?
There's a lot of good parties in warehouses.
Yeah.
Because they're just not as great in the clubs.
Yeah. Dude, that place was awesome, too. It was like fucking Swiss Family Robinson with ecstasy. It was just like...
The warehouse parties I've been to down here have been like, oh, I'm glad we're in a warehouse.
Yeah.
Instead of anywhere else.
I've been to a bar in Redlands. This is before I left California. called the Boiler Room that was like built in an actual boiler room that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Where's Redlands at?
It's the IE, Inland Empire.
It just sounds so familiar.
Like the University of Redlands there. It's like, I'm going to say west of San Bernardino. Huh? I'm okay.
Oh, I'll take one.
You didn't get another one, or are you already on?
I'm on number 37. But I think, like, I've changed a lot since he got stabbed. Which, like, sometimes I feel weird saying because it didn't happen to me. But also, when I take a step back, I'm like, well, yeah. Like, it did very much affect me. But, like, I've always had bad anxiety, but my anxiety has gotten, like, way worse. And I find myself, like, when my anxiety, like, builds and I, like, feel weird in social situations, like, I just want to, like, yell, my boyfriend got stabbed! Like, when things feel weird to me, or, like,
you're
when somebody comes too
close. You're giving yourself a justification for feeling weird
about
stuff.
Yeah, I just want to be like, my boyfriend got stabbed! Like, just to fix everything.
There was also that, whole thing you were saying about, like, right after it happened. I apologize if you hadn't said this to Seth before, because you said it to me when he wasn't there.
Mm.
It was hard for you, like, how much pain the incident had put you through that you were trying to keep it from him.
Really strong for him, yeah.
Yeah, like, it was tearing you up inside. Yeah, like you would go hide and
cry.
Yeah.
And then I would come back and he'd be like, your face is red. And I'd be like, it's hot outside.
It's the normal color.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, because I was so focused on, like, oh, this is going to fuck him up so much, I have to be super strong for him. And then it ended up that, like, holding it all in ended up fucking me up, like, way worse.
Should have known from the moment that I started asking people to write jokes about it that you could have. And by, I mean, the moment I was in the hospital still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let me ask Willie that question, actually. I'm curious about your answer. Okay, I think I can remember all the questions. So the first one was, can you give me an example of a scene? This is like my scale now from doing this documentary. Oh, this is the Timmy Seth scale. The first question is, have you ever used comedy in a social situation to fix a problem? Like, you spill a drink, make a joke about it. Or, like, do you have a specific example? Or?
I mean, for myself, not you, what if I'm making jokes? Like,
whatever you got.
I was, this is the first time I really ever picked up a camera, I think. There was this big family party, and I just felt so awkward talking to everyone. And I wasn't that awkward talking to my family, but I was just like, that I grabbed the camera.
You're on the spot,
and just started recording everybody. I was just walking around, but I was recording their mouth up close, like eating, because it was just so fucking funny. And I was like, so here I am. It looks like I'm making a movie. Ha ha. Hey, smile for the camera. And I'm like, getting embarrassing moments of everyone.
Yeah.
And then this one relative, her daughter was like bending over, and her mom was like, oh, he's filming your butt or something like that. And I definitely was not.
Yeah.
So I don't remember my joke, but I just made a joke and then left the room. So, like, I was using the camera to make the situation better for me and laughing. But then that was so awkward, being accused of filming my cousin, whatever distant cousin's butt.
Yeah.
I was so fucking pissed off.
That's the best kind of butt, cousin butt.
But, yeah, always. I mean, I've definitely said weird, bad jokes to, like when you get caught up in that.
Right.
Because I'm not socially anxious, but I can be sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, as a comic, we put so much time into, like, our writing, our performing, and everything, that it bleeds into our life, and it becomes, like, a coping mechanism, or it becomes a tool. And tool can be used by anybody for anything. Like, there's all kinds of shit I've used comedy for, but it hasn't always been successful. But I think it's made me... it has...
I'm better. My jokes are better when I'm not nervous, though. How
about yeah. That? Yeah. Do you think being a comic has made you a better person?
The answer is yes, because I just communicate more about everything.
Yeah.
My comedy, like, I used to dance through my stand-up sets, but I just talk about anxiety and stuff. I didn't know other people didn't have anxiety. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm asking my friends, like, do you feel like you're always dying, about to die, right?
Yeah.
No.
That's normal, right?
Okay, do you ever think you use comedy to take control of situations?
I wish my answer was yes, but no.
I feel like the only time I'm comfortable, like, in a, like, a room with more than 30 people at, like, a restaurant or, like, a bar is if I'm doing comedy. That's the only time I can relax is when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
I definitely, like, to parallel that, I like getting high, but I don't like to get high when I have to hide it.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
I just like to just say, hey, I'm smoking weed, and then it allows me to be stupid with everyone. I can go off on a tangent and be like, well, they know I'm fucking high, so I'm gonna just speak my mind instead. Yeah. I'm like, why can't I speak my mind when I'm not high? Yeah. And I can, but I hold myself back.
Yeah, you know, I think I was kind of more of a loady when I first started comedy, because I used to get a little bit fucked up before I go on stage.
I definitely always do. I gotta have a few beers.
Yeah.
I try not
to
smoke too much weed because I get lost, but
I have like a 3-drink minimum before I'll go on. Oh god, I hate it when you run in from the street and have to run right on stage.
Yeah.
I'm like, but my 3-drink minimum.
I like to have 2 beers in one hit. That's what I like.
Yeah.
I had like 27 beers one time, and I got on stage and I was like, hey, nope, and just got off stage. Just did it. I was like, this isn't happening tonight.
I don't know if I would ever do that to myself, because I've done stupid things, you know, and I'm like, oh, I know I'm drunk, but I'm still gonna do it.
Yeah,
I'll do that with improv,
but I shouldn't go up sometimes, I guess.
I did that once, and I was so mad at the open mic. Like, I was so mad about being there and waiting for as long as I did, and I just stood there for like a minute and a half and just kept going, no, 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 9/11. It was really dumb, and nobody laughed, and they didn't put me up the next time I went to the mic.
Oh, that's stupid. It's open mic.
I guess my opinion with improv is, like, I have that thing where you walk off stage and you don't remember anything that you did, really.
I do that too.
Yeah, like, it's normal. I'm like,
I don't know
normal.
If it was funny. I don't know if anybody laughed.
Yeah, like, I don't remember. So I'm kind of like, if I'm blackout drunk, what's going to be different? I'm not going to remember it either way. Like, I'm not going to remember it sober. I'm not going to remember it drunk. So might as well have some fun. And I get off stage and I'm like, did I do good?
I, as a non-improver, I would also think that alcohol would help improv. You get more creative, probably.
There's definitely
as
like
long
a
as you
curve.
Didn't blow your limit.
Yeah. Because, yeah. Stand up, for the most part, you always have like everything written out. It's basically a speech.
Yeah, it's way different. It's way easier to fuck that up.
I've never done, my problem is I've never done the same set because I'm so loose, but that also makes it so that I didn't actually write any jokes.
Yeah. Right.
So, hope you like listening to me talk.
Because you're gonna.
I love listening to Willie talk. I listen to Willie talk a lot.
I need to take control.
Yeah.
Have you made any specific changes because of all this happening? Like, oh, I started a savings account or whatever. Like,
I bought a motorcycle.
Yeah, man, he's gotten his shit together. I'm proud of this kid.
He has. He's super been.
I think he's more confident too. He seems more manly. Yeah. When I first met him,
his dick got bigger.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's nice. It's a nice cock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of penises, I'm dead serious about this. I think every respectable movie has a flaccid, proud male penis in it.
Oh yes, we've heard the story.
I think the movie needs a penis.
I'm vetoing it. Unless
a 16-minute movie needs at least.
I think they won't take it seriously unless we put a penis in it.
I mean, if we're going to put a penis in it, then you get a penis and you put it on the TV, and then it's just me walking in to a room while you're just staring at the penis on the TV, and I'm like, Tim, what are you doing?
Just do it weird, like, just cover yours up with, like, clear plastic tape so, like, you can see it, but it also is shaped weird.
So normal.
I actually have the shot. I have the shot. After I went to discuss making the movie with Matt, I had to take... I took the Megabus from Oakland to L.A., which is 7 hours. I got off the Megabus at 7 a.m., went to Funny or Die till noon, got back on the Megabus at noon 30 and went back home, and then I drank 2 pints of whiskey in the bathtub, and I was... butt naked in the bathtub with the dog singing Home on the Range, and my girlfriend came in and filmed it. So there's penis in that shot. I haven't watched it yet because I'm too scared to see myself drunk singing naked in the bathtub. It's just too much for me to go, but I have it in my phone.
Well, here's what I'm getting at. Do you feel like you have been affected mentally in any way, negative or positive from this overall?
I'd say yes. I don't know if they're negative or positive, though. Like
100% both ways.
Yeah. I've had like a bunch of like morality debates with myself. Like I will sit up like late at night and be like, "What if I die tonight?" Like just in my sleep. I never like think about like, "Oh, what if someone tries to hurt me again?" I'm like, "What if I just die in my sleep? Like, what was all of this time here for then?" And I never really had those thoughts before, so I think that definitely changed.
Which is really weird to think about in America. You know, we don't really get to see when you have a near death experience. That's like a new thing. I'm sure that's probably not.
He had a death experience.
Death experience.
Yeah.
Also, did I say morality instead of mortality? Because those are completely different. Yeah. Now I have bad morals.
Yeah. I kick puppies. Yeah.
Well, I only bring that up because I feel like this is me projecting what you are projecting.
But right. Double projecting.
Yeah.
But I feel like you, Tim, thought that maybe he would be affected a lot harder in a negative way.
Oh, yeah. I thought there was going to be like a period of like, this guy's really confused and scared, but he just keeps getting fucking better and better.
Yeah.
Like, it's a straight upward spike.
And, like, I'm like, this is me projecting, you projecting, because I feel like you, because you've had so many weird bouts mentally.
Oh, yeah.
That you know that this would have fucked you up.
Well, that's why I took action, because he reminded me of myself, for what reason, I don't really know. He reminded me of like how I used to be when I was like, 17 before shit got real. And like I sometimes feel like I'm just like a negative jaded fuck. Like
I know I hate being jaded. Yeah. I used to not be, and I was so fucking happy. I'm pretty happy.
But yeah. Fuck. Because like you're like, because you remember we were talking about like what I could do.
Yeah.
And you're like, just check in with them, you know, just check in with them every day. Record it. And we're like, okay, we'll just start there. You know, like, because Willie was like my bounce stuff off.
Nice.
Yeah. Guy.
I'd say the worst part, I've told him this too, is I absolutely hate talking on the phone, and he wanted to talk on the phone. Every day for hours.
Do you want to call? Yeah. Let's just call.
Yeah. But, you know.
Do you, when you talk on the phone for too long, do you walk around? Do you sit in the same spot? What do you.
I normally just start moving. I try and look like I am trying to call for help so someone maybe can come bug me and be like, we need to get him off the phone.
Oh, yeah. He needs to not be on the phone right now.
But, yeah, but since it's a movie about him, I think he got used to it.
Yeah.
He didn't follow me around with a camera when he was in Austin, which that's what I was expecting.
Yeah,
but, you know, I was thinking that too, but it's like, we had too many shots planned. Like, we had to, like, go set up and do stuff and everything. Like, I'm not set up to like, I mean, my lens doesn't zoom, so it's a dope lens, it looks great, but like I have to set up that shot with a tripod.
So what happens when this comes out and you don't like it? What do you do?
That's what I said when we were pulling up and parking here. I was like, What if we watch the documentary for the first time and Tim makes us both out to be just like complete CGI assholes?
Penises all over, guys.
and then Seth, without even thinking, just like out of the corner of his mouth, he goes, "I wouldn't care." He was like, yeah, "That's fine."
I got super weirded out. Like,
I'm not, and then I'm not projecting to be bad. I'm just like, no, it's like, weird.
I get, well, the first thing I got weirded out about was like, when I, so I get, I work, I have a job where I work 80 hours on, 80 hours off. So my sleep schedule is horrible. So I got like 3 hours of sleep. I hop on the plane. I travel. It's like a million degrees. I'm driving around Austin. I get out of the car. I eat a taco at Taco Bell, meet Seth for the first time, go to his aunt's house, and then just hear the most heartbreaking hour and a half long story. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I am in Texas hearing sordid details about somebody's life that I don't even know, and they're trusting me to put all this shit in their hands. And it's like, A, I hope they don't think I'm trying to trigger some psychotic break. Mm. B, like, these people are the sweetest, coolest, fucking nicest people, and they're like telling me all this stuff. Like, they're making themselves vulnerable. And then, like, I got weirded out when I got home. I couldn't even look at the footage for like a week. I couldn't even, like, I had to compartmentalize it like hardcore. Like, I had to physically, like, and mentally, like, make a plan to, like, I just need to check out. Like, I just need to, like, sit in a dark room and play Minecraft for 3 days and just check out, because I went to another town where it was insanely hot and humid. I did not know everybody. All I did all day long was talk to people and hear the same heartbreaking story over and over and over again by different people from different perspectives. And everybody was so kind and so wonderful. And I was like, fuck, this thing's got a life of its own now. Like, and like, if these people aren't shitbags, so I can't, like, make my own narrative with their words and make them look dumb for my own sake. Like, but, like, I made a decision going into this, like, right at the beginning. I'm like, I don't even give a fuck if it's funny or not. I just want people to watch it. Yeah. You know, like, it's not, I mean, yeah, it's comedy because we're comics, but I did not go, oh, I want to go make a comedy thing. Like, I was like, I want to make a real fucking thing, because this, like, I don't care about anything, but I cared about this, and I still don't understand why. Well, yeah, I do now, but like, this was one of the first things that I cared about that didn't concern me. Of course, I made it about myself, but
that's whatever, what's funny.
Yeah,
whenever I watch a documentary, I'm like, why is this about the person making a documentary? And then if it's not good, I'm like, they should have made it about themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about the journey.
Well, I'm trying to find like a nice way to do that without me looking like a cocksucker. Because I feel like I'm gonna make myself look like a cocksucker in this movie.
Well, there's a flaccid penis.
Yeah. Alright. That's just gonna be the movie poster. It's just gonna be my penis.
Well, serious or funny, I think that whatever you were doing when I was sleeping with no shirt and pretending to poop.
Oh, he's so curious about what we did while he was asleep.
Oh, we were hammered. Like, that's...
We were so drunk and we're like, let's film this and we're gonna do and we're geniuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won't stop talking about like what we filmed. Well, while he I woke was up asleep.
To like I was just like tired that day or whatever, and I didn't really have to do anything. And then I just had to do this thing where I scream, and I was so tired. And Tim just comes up to the bed and just starts poking me.
Do it,
just poking me on my head. And it's like 2 a.m. And I was like, I just met you 2 days ago.
we were making these like. I didn't tell her this, but I was like, I wanted to make these like, you know, under a minute, like little teasers for the movie. I don't think I'm going to do it anymore because I think it's a bad idea. but I was going to like film these really bizarre things and just have them have nothing to do with the movie whatsoever and put them out like it's what the movie's about. So the shot is like me shirtless sitting on the toilet and Caitlin just... And Caitlin just like bursts into the bathroom and just, like takes this long breath in and is like, hey... And she's like, you need to look in the toilet bowl. And then I turn around and I took his little fox buddies and I put them in a Ziploc bag. And I put like French toast 2 and pancake 2. Like yes. They were emergency ones, like in case he lost the other ones. And then there was a couple butcher knives in the toilet bowl, too. So we were going to try and...
We hid knives all over the house.
Yeah. So we were trying to shoot this whole thing of, like... She was taking us on a tour of the house of, like... She's like, there's some things we didn't want to talk about, but... And so we found all these butcher knives hidden around the place.
Auntie just found one.
Like, oh, really?
We missed one. Like, 2 days ago.
Oh, no.
She was like... It was the one that was, like, above the fridge. She was like, oh, by the way, I found this from what y'all were doing. And I was like, I thought we found all of them. Yeah. We hid knives all over the house.
Yeah, so I was thinking about throwing up a red herring when we were all good and drunk, but I don't know if I can use that. I would like to use the footage, but it's just so weird.
It's very weird.
And it's, like, what I came out and did and everything I got was just so real and so beautiful that, like, me doing my dumb poop thing. But it's, like... I'm glad that I did the poop thing because I'm glad that, like, I was able to film a dumb thing, and then I feel like by me taking control of the dumb thing, it got rid of a dumb thing that I had no control over doing. Yeah. That I just did because I was actually dumb instead of me planning out my dumbness.
How many times did you get stabbed?
Five.
Yeah. Like, have you ever had a really good show and gone to, like, an early mic and bombed on purpose?
No.
I used to do that. I'd go, like, a town over and bomb on purpose before I had, like, a show at the Punchline.
I don't even know how to bomb on purpose other than just tell my normal jokes.
Nailed it.
I would just go up there with, like, a dry attitude and, like...
I'm not good at booking myself, so I haven't done too many shows. I assumed that everyone running a show knows that I do comedy and they want to see me and they
should contact me. They're waiting
to ask me and I'm like, fuck man, how come I haven't done that show yet?
See, I would like fixate on a venue and find a way in.
Because like I have friends that have shows and like I've asked them like, hey, I want to do your show. I'm like, okay, we'll set you up. And then like nothing ever again. I'm like, fuck, am I going to have to submit the email to... Whatever. Yes. The answer is yes. Yeah. I'm not good at the business side of comedy.
Me neither.
I'm really good at hanging out. And
I'm really good at being funny, but not like... Yeah.
But making that a profession is hard.
I was thinking like if I ever were to become like a road comedian, like I was like, you have to like write off like gas and hotels for like the whole year. I was like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
I know there's like a YouTube video on it somewhere, but it's just complicated.
And do you really want to be in Utah on like a Wednesday night?
But my problem with being a road cop, because well, I almost went on a tour with a friend from Phoenix all the way to Denver where we grew up, and I was like, you know what, at the middle, everyone on the way home doesn't want to hear my stand up. I know that they don't. You know, like I grew up gay and Mexican in Colorado because that's what they thought I was.
You're neither of those.
I know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to go do stand up.
I thought you were Filipino.
Yeah, I am. I'm saying though, I grew up Mexican because most people just assumed or told me or thought I was Mexican.
When I first met you, saw you for the first time, I was like, "That's Willie? Like, no way! Like, you? I was imagining like a scrawny little white dude or something."
But I'm like, doing that. It's almost like I feel like a lot of road comedians adjust their set to the road. I'm like, I didn't want to do that.
No.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
Mm-mm. Not that everyone does, but my set wasn't going to work.
If I go out like too many times a week, like and I'm in bars, I just turn into a shitty person after a while. Like just being out every night, like
I'm the opposite.
Yeah, I don't do well. Like if I'm social too much, I get weird. I like to be home. You know, that's why I like doing this movie because I have complete control over it and I'm still doing comedy and I feel like it's reaching more people than if I was just like at a show on a Wednesday in a bar doing dick jokes.
So many 20 minutes is...
Well, that one I forgot about, so I said that one for Ken.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, there's
33
seconds.
I mean, I don't really know where else to go. What have you learned so far? I don't want to.
What have I learned?
Blow your documentary.
Because there's a lot of the story that I don't know. I mean, like.
Where are you gonna? Where are you submitting this?
I'm gonna try to get it into South by Southwest, and I think that's the only festival that I'll probably
you're about apply to. You're about to get locked up in a room for a week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to...
But you also just learned how to edit, right?
No, actually, that's what I got a degree in, but I'm not editing, but in graphics. So I've made movies before. I just haven't... I know how to work the software. I know how to do edits.
I just thought you were such a quick learner.
Well, I mean, this was... I mean, I got this degree 15 years ago. So it did basically have to learn everything all over. I'm quick study. And a lot of stuff I don't know how to do yet, like the green screen stuff and whatever. But
I got some people you can call.
Yeah, but I think the thing that I've learned the most out of this is that, like, there's some people out there that are still pretty fucking good. You know, like, it's the world is not a cold, dead place.
Well, that's what's hashtag weird Austin. Is that, like, yeah, you know, like, I think most people, no matter what they're doing, I feel like most people want to be good. You can't learn about everybody and meet everybody, so... If your experiences have been limited to a small community, then
yeah,
it's also the age of information. Yeah. Like if you always hear bad news, you're less likely to go up to a stranger because you just think the worst is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like that. That's the weird thing is we need to take the word news off of news because half the shit isn't news anyways. Yeah. It's gossip or it's shock stuff to get the hits. Like they. You know, of all the news outlets and the places writing stories, hits matter more, views matter more than ever the content. Right. And so you just have to stop watching it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like all the stuff that's funny now is either, like, you know, there's lots of cop stuff. You know, there's lots of relationship stuff. There's lots of doctor stuff.
What are you talking about?
Just like comedy in general. Oh. Like what's on TV. Oh. You know, like there's cop shows, there's relationship shows, and there's doctor shows.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like...
It's hard to get anything else, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
Especially zombies. Sci-fi and space shit.
Yeah, and I thought, like, it's like if you look back and it's like something really serious happened to a fucking... I feel like an idiot's a wrong word, but like a fun idiot. Like a fun-loving idiot. Had some serious shit happen to him.
Like, I know you're not trying to make a comedy, and I know that you all aren't making light of everything, but it's like, yeah, well, you know what? It happened, and we're all comedians, so...
A comedic exploration of a real-life event.
Or a tragic event. Was it?
Or a real-life event. We do real-life.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. That's kind of...
We're exploring how it can be funny, as opposed to just saying it is going
to
be funny.
Yeah, yeah, or that, or, you know, like, you don't want people to preemptively be worried for you anyway. Like, why don't you joke around about that? You really did die.
Yeah.
I know. I'm telling the story.
But, like, the whole point is, like, he needed comedy. I think that something that drew a lot of people to the story, I'm pretty sure it drew Tim to the story, is, you know, hours after it happened, he was sitting in the hospital bed and... just like broken as fuck, and he turns to me and he's like, hey, I want you to put this online and have comedian friends of mine make pitch. Jokes about it through pitch, and I was like, okay, you want them to tell you jokes to make you laugh, or you want them to make jokes about you? And he was like, no, I want them to make jokes about me.
Yeah.
Right now, like, that's what I want in this world. Like,
I remember that shit broke my heart when I read it.
Yeah. So he was like sitting in the hospital bed, this had just happened, and he was like, I need people to fuck with me right now. Like, that's the one thing that I need. And I put it online, and people started writing jokes, and it was his very close friends. That they, you know, they were contacting me and they were crying, but they were like, I saw that his request that was that we write jokes about him. So I'm sitting here crying, roasting him, like writing like fuck you Seth jokes, because I know that's what he wants. But personally, I'm crying about this, and they're like, I'm just going to write more jokes because that's what he wants. And it's just, it was such a unique to Seth's situation. Like, I wouldn't have done that. Like, if I was in the hospital bed, I'd be like, everyone should bring me flowers and candy. Like, I wouldn't be like, tell me how stupid I am, you know? Like, but that was what he needed, and it was a very unique perspective on everything.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, too, like, having a community is new for me. I've always been, like, a drifter.
Yeah.
On a steel horse I ride. I don't. I would never get on a motorcycle.
Oh, I thought that was talking about a guitar.
But I want it! Sorry, I'll stop.
I thought the steel horse was a guitar.
You know, it's what is the steel horse?
It's a motorcycle?
Yeah. He got a motorcycle.
No, but the lyrics.
Then the song.
Yeah, steel horse I ride. That's a motorcycle.
That's a motorcycle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a whippet.
I still have a hard time whenever I say bike. I have a bike. People are like, you have a motorcycle? I'm like, no, I have a bike.
No, yeah. It's a tennis
ball. A bicycle.
I have a BMX bike, and a couple of, like, girls have done it over the years and be like, you're too old to ride that. Like, I got a, like, an old school 85 Mongoose with pegs on it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's so badass. White wall tires too. So, yeah, I mean, it's called /toggle/downfall. All one word, lowercase. Type it into Minecraft, see what happens.
Say it again.
Toggle downfall, TOGGLEDOWNFALL. It's a command, like for OS. You can figure that out for yourself.
Easter egg.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys have any closing statements do you want to make about everything that's happened?
Yeah, I'd say, like, if you're frightened by, like, news like me, and you think that, like, what can I do, and then just give up and fuck off into the wind and, like, just watch TV and don't, you know, pay attention and stay in your own bubble, that's cool. I do that too. Every now and then, try and get out of your bubble and go change something for the better, because it's really done. I mean, not that I went in and fixed his life or anything, but I feel like I've made some sort of slight positive impact, and I feel good about that. Because
you did fix my life. Yeah. I get so many compliments on that shirt you gave me.
Really? Yeah. Really? It does look good on him, huh? Yeah, he's like my son. I'm not going to have kids because I don't want to, but he's Seth's my kid. Yeah. He's only, like, a couple years younger than me, but he's my son.
Yeah. I think, like, in the beginning, you asked Seth, like, what did you think when Tim asked you to do this documentary about yourself? And, like, for me, what that means is Seth is terrible about talking about his feelings or talking about anything bad that's happened. Like, Seth said a lot of bad stuff happened to him, and he's just like, anyway. And I think that this whole documentary has kind of forced him to talk about it, but in, like, the best possible way. And it's forced all of us to talk about it. Like, me, his family, like, Tim has interviewed all of us, and
yeah,
we have had to have, all of us have had to have, like, his friends, like,
just, I think,
had
my transparency is spreading.
Yeah. We've just had to have real conversations about a thing that affected all of us.
Yeah.
And I wish that anything trying that happened to anyone, that someone would do a documentary about it, because the more that you talk about it, like, the easier it is to digest. So it's been a very positive thing all around, because it's really hard getting this one to talk about stuff. But he kind of has to.
Docu-therapy also sounds like a really good business idea.
Yeah. Dude, we should start a docu-therapy business. Just find trauma victims, and we'll just show up and make positive documentaries.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, just so you know, I'm going to be all over your documentary. You're going to learn more about me than... Yeah.
And then that's how we saw a flaccid penis every day for a year. Yeah.
That's the only reason they'll take us seriously. You have to have a flaccid penis. Like, I mean, Game of Thrones would be nothing without that penis.
No?
Yeah. Yeah. serious about the penis. There's no respectable movies without a penis. I mean, Robin Williams went out in his last movie, Penis.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that penis. It was majestic.
What movie is that?
The one, World's Best Dad.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
That's very sad.
Seth, what are you over here?
Yeah, you're over here.
Huh?
Quietly avoiding final thoughts.
Yeah. I don't know what I've learned, to be honest. I think it's going to hit me all sometime down the road. Kind of like my therapist says it's understandable, but weird that I haven't had a flashback yet. I haven't not gone back to the moment it happened. Like, it's just whatever. And I think when all of that comes, I'm going to be like, have like a, like just a flash of wisdom where I'm going to just like know just everything.
Turn on the GoPro I gave you. And try and have it within the next couple of days.
Yeah, I'll try and become an enlightened wizard and really quickly. but I think kind of to Tim's point, all of the people that came together, whether just to be read a joke about me or like I had a GoFundMe and donated money, or people that like someone volunteered to be Tim's assistant in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, people are doing, oh yeah, all kinds of help.
So just like that whole community and just people in general, it's nice to know that there's actually still good people, like he said, especially rallying around some random dude that tries to be funny.
And I am not a good person.
I'd say you're mostly good.
Yeah, I think so. Just a little off.
Yeah.
I do some weird stuff in Minecraft.
Well, that's cool. That's interesting, because ultimately I feel like the problem with any relationship, no matter how strong or how great you think that relationship is, family, loved ones, whatever, is just communication. And it's so easy to slowly stop communicating about, just because like, well, why do I need to talk about that? It's fine, you know, even simple things, you know. And it's like, well, the more you communicate about everything, the better off you are about everything. Yeah. And every job, career, love, everything. And so but it's funny. I'm not saying that, oh, we're watching too much TV. Mm-hmm. But it's funny that it's like, oh, yeah, well, of course talking about it helps. But that doesn't make it easier to talk about anything. Mm-hmm. Especially when it's about yourself. Because it's like, well, I don't know how I feel about everything because I haven't processed it, or I am not used to communicating how I feel. So
yeah,
I'm fine. It's fine. It's good. Everything's good.
I mean, it was like,
I get annoyed when people ask me how I'm doing, because I'm like, you're not, I don't think you're really asking me. So yeah. I don't really want to tell you. And you know, I've closed off even from people trying to say something nice. I'm like, well, they did not trying that hard.
Where, like, we know how people say, like, how are you doing today? Almost everyone says good, or I'm doing great. They had someone always answer, like, oh, my mom just died. And all the people that asked the question was like, I don't want to talk to you.
Like, yeah, like, oh, God.
So it's literally, like, ingrained in society to ask a question you and don't care about.
Sake. My favorite thing to do is, like, have a communication with a stranger. It's just so hard for it to happen well, because what are you going to talk about? You get these random little slices of life where it's set up for you to have a great conversation with, and then you'll never see him again.
Yeah.
You didn't talk about the weather. You didn't talk about whatever.
That's why my favorite place on this planet is an airport bar. Yeah. Everyone will tell their life stories because, like, instantly.
Yeah.
And then they'll just leave on their plane. They're like, I'm not going to see this person again, but they just give you so much information.
And
so
they
quickly
won't talk to you on the airplane.
Yeah.
Oh man, I caused
interaction
all
over.
It's like, life don't want to talk to you. Airplane don't want to talk to you. This little airport. Yeah, yeah. Hey, here we go. I got a half hour.
Yeah.
Man, I created a stink because of the airport bar. Like, I was at on the flight out to Austin. Like, I was like sleep deprived. Ate my dose of Adderall that I take in the morning. So there was like this fake energy, and then I go to the airport. I don't like flying, so I had like a double Hendrix gin martini, and then like hopped onto the airplane. It's like a fucking dog
cage.
What's
Hendrix?
It's a type of gin with a muddled cucumber.
Is that Kendrix? There's a Hendrix also?
Hendrix, yeah.
Yeah.
There's Kendrix though, right?
That's Anna.
Huh?
Anna
Kendrix.
Oh, so I'm actually mixing up well, I have Hendrix at home and I don't have Kendrix.
Oh, probably. I mean,
probably. Okay, go yeah. on.
Hendrix is like a.
No, I have it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I've had
so
it.
So I'm sitting at the window. The window's to my left, and there's like a guy asleep next to me. That's like a lot bigger than me. So like I'm trying to give him the elbow thing, but like my knees are squished up. I'm like veal. You know, so my laptop loses battery, and then I'm like, okay, now I'm going to go insane. So the lady comes down the aisle. She'd come 20 minutes before and given me, like, a bag of, like, apple crisp cookies. And, like, they made 2 minutes of my life not help. So she comes back down the thing, and I was like, hey, excuse me, can I get another bag of those cookies? And she's like, ugh, and does a sigh. And that pissed me off, and for some reason I said something, and I don't know why I said this. I said, oh, he wants one too, talking about the guy sleeping next to me that I do not know.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, wait a minute, nobody really sleeps on an airplane. He probably heard me.
Yeah.
So then he wakes up later. He, like, starts talking about how tired he is. I offer him an Adderall. He replies with, I'm a cop. Oh my God. I'm like, oh, they're prescribed. And he's like, I don't care, man. He starts laughing. So we're like, cool. And then I'm like, oh, by the way, I'm like, I grabbed you another bag of cookies. You know, do you want the cookies? He's like, why don't you hang on to them for me? I'm like, what the fuck do I do with that? What,
yeah.
So I go.
Typical cop response.
Yeah. So the plane lands. I forget about the cookies. And then I get back to the airport. My flight's delayed. I think I lost my credit card. And I'm like having a weird airport panic attack, like sitting on like a weird cement ottoman in the airport, like digging through all my stuff. And I think I've lost my credit card. I like don't know how I'm going to check my bag, because you got to pay $25 to check your bag. And then I had bought this like newspaper, which is just that week's mugshots in Austin.
Oh, yes.
So those I'm like great. All defeated. Wow. And I'm like, I'm going to look at this week's mugshots. And I open it. My credit card just flies out.
Nice.
And it like goes up in the air in slow motion. Then it lands on top of the bag of the cookies that I had taken from that cop on the flight there. But I'm like now ready for my flight home a week later. And I, like, look at the cookies. I'm like, eh, and I just throw them away. 2 minutes later, I'm walking around the corner. I see the fucking guy. And I would have loved to just handed him the cookies. But I'd throw them away 2 minutes before. I should just lie and say I gave them to him. That'd be a better story.
No.
Yeah. But I created
cookie
panic.
If you ate them in front of him and then just gave him the nod.
Yeah. These are your cookies, buddy.
You could have had these. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if my laptop breaks and I don't eat breakfast and don't have enough sleep, I turn into, like, I created weird cookie problems on the airplane in my head because I was bored.
You should have asked him if he arrested any of the people in the mugshot magazine.
Yeah. It's called Busted, by the
way.
He
was some weird kind of, like, security mercenary cop. I think he was, like, a cop for hire, like a PI or something. Or he was just full of shit. I don't know. But,
Security mercenary.
Or he doesn't exist and I just made him up.
Yeah.
But... yeah.
You guys got anything you want to plug?
Just my Twitter. At Seth Goodtime.
Keep an eye out for / Tuggle Downfall. I'll tweet it to you guys at some point. Tim's Tesseract. It's a science fiction comedy blog. Very strange, very fun.
What's the dark web site?
Oh, it's like a series of weird numbers. But if you go to the Twitter account at Tim's Tesseract, there's a link to it.
Word.
Well, you have to copy and paste it and put it in the Tor. We'll just open up Tor.
Did Caitlin tell you how she thought Tesseract was your actual last name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Pizza was a fake last name and Tesseract was your real last name.
Tesseract would be a badass name. Yeah. That's cool.
Well, thank you guys for coming on and telling your story.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
It's crazy.
You're
so crazy.
Texas.
Yeah, and
I will be. I was supposed to go out.
And thanks for supporting me all those times when I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I want to go to Chewy's and Magnolia's and Green Mesquite and
just stay off of Burleson.
Yeah.
And the creepy bush people.
And the bush people. Don't go near them.
And if you ever went up in Austin with me and I have a car, I will take you to Leftovers spots. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Do you guys still say that quote?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're paranoid doesn't mean it's not true or something?
Yeah, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.
That's a Charlie Manson quote.
That's like perfect for... this whole stabbing situation.
It is. Turn around, bitch.
No, yeah, because like I wasn't worried about him because like literally I was trying not to be like racist or judge people.
Yeah.
I was like, he probably looked a little shady. I was like, no, he's just a normal dude. And then he stabbed me.
I know. I do that too. Cause my wife, when we're walking, I'm not saying she's judging anyone. We've got a baby and she like
judges the baby.
Stupid.
She holds up the baby and says, and you know, quit judging. Yeah. But our latest thing that we've gotten is we have weird old men coming up to say hi to Little Moose and touch him and stuff, and it's no. Especially when we went back east, we were in some like weird grocery store. There's this really old man. Oh, who's this? Hello. And she's like, well, don't fucking, you know, in her head, she's like, don't fucking touch my baby. And I'm like, no, it's fine.
Yeah,
can't do anything in public. And you know what? I feel like the older you get, the happier you get to see kids. She's like, oh, I couldn't have any, or mine died, or whatever your individual story is. It's like, you know what? Just don't get too close. Well, we just know we're watching you. But of course, you know, the parent is watching the fuck out of you.
I give kids dirty looks if I don't know them, because I'm more afraid of a parent going, why does that guy like my kid? You know, like, because that's creepier to me than, like, a guy that's, like, an asshole to a kid. I'd rather be an asshole to a kid than, like, hey, little kid, what are you doing today?
Yeah.
You
know, like, I have to constantly say in my head, like, don't touch that baby. Don't touch that baby. Yeah. You don't know that baby. Don't touch that baby. But, like, everything in my being is like, touch that baby!
The baby's like, touch me! Yeah. I'm a baby!
We're best friends!
Yeah, we make people wash their hands.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, and thanks for listening. Tweet at us. Give us a new ending for our show. And watch out for this documentary.
Thank you.
Toodles.